In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Well, this is the first liturgy in our own church, or the Banks Church. Perhaps it will be ours in about 15 years. But it's appropriate that we begin the new year in a new home. And we, amongst all people, have the right to say, as we do in the ply, as moapia clom and teti rompi hiten tekamera Christos abshois. Bless the crown of the year with your goodness, O Lord. And he has. He has blessed us. He has really blessed us. But the blessing is derived because of a synergy. Everybody, almost to a man that I see in this room, worked hard on the church. There was so much cleaning to do. If you were here and you were working, you know just exactly what it looked like before and what it looks like now. I'm hoping in the next week or so we will have window coverings. I'm hoping that we will solve some of the problems with the sound system. And there are some other things that are just functions of being in a new place and getting everything sorted, as the British say. When you look at the gospel message today and you see that the Lord is accusing the people who are listening, and they have a choice of voices. They have the voice of repentance and reconciliation from John the Baptist, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have the embrace of the good news. And they neither mourn with John the Baptist over their sins, nor do they rejoice in that they are forgiven with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're not dancing children, and they're not mourning children. They're children that are sitting back, and they are just blasé. They are without affect. They don't know exactly what to make of what is before them because they are so deeply entrenched in their own personal vision. When you have somebody that looks at the world a certain way, it is hard for that person to change. Extremely hard. And unless they are going to spend time more than with the own voices that are echoing in their head, and hear some new voices coming from, and most importantly coming from, the gospel or the Bible itself, then new conversations can never take place inside that individual. If all you are doing is talking to yourself, what are you going to come up with except the same old thing? And therefore terms like recalcitrant belong to you. People that are just stuck in the mud somewhere alongside the road while progress is going forth in front of them. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And of course, I'm happy now that everybody can get a chance to see John the Baptist. You know, this is something that we always see in the Epiphany, which is above the little area where we will baptize infants. But behind me, John the Baptist himself. See, in an icon where you have Jesus Christ, the priest cannot incense the one who is next to Jesus Christ. There's an icon of Saint Bishoy. And when I go to the icon and I'm offering incense, I offer incense saying, "Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you let your servant, Saint Bishoy, wash your feet." But the incense and the prayer is going to Jesus Christ. To be able to incense Saint Bishoy on his own, he would have to be the only one in the icon. The only one. I'm departing a little bit from the central message, but They're people that don't know what icons are. There's this overshadowing icon of Saint Mary. You see the Annunciation, the overshadowing, the visiting with Saint Elizabeth, and then the Nativity. Well, the one that is in the shape that would look to a Mexican to look like the Virgin of Guadalupe, it is not. It's called a mandorla, and it's the intersection or the subset of heaven and earth coming, because at this moment she is carrying the seed in her womb of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have the Holy Spirit, which is in the silver leaf around her, and you have the divinity of God the Father Almighty and His only begotten Son in the gold leaf. When I incense this icon, though Saint Mary is present, and she's the Mother of God, I am incensing the one who is inside her, which is why we call her Taishuri Inub, the golden censer, because she holds, like the burning bush, the fire that does not create destruction. She is not burned up by this fire. So as I go around the church, we are very particular about, or I am, very particular about what prayer I say in front of every symbol of the great saints that we have in our iconography. And we're lucky to have the good icons that we have, and by God's grace we will have more and more. But the point is, it's your reference to them. And I'm saying this because you have the reference behind me of John the Baptist by himself, and then over here you have him in the moment of the Epiphany where he is baptizing the Lord. So think about just this one concept, your relationship to these holy things. The people, the Jews, the people of the time of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, they did not respond to John the Baptist. They did not respond to Jesus Christ. What are the men of this generation likened to? Children. Why did he say children? Are children the only people that don't dance or don't mourn? No. No. They're children because they have no discretion. They're children because their mind is not fully developed. They're children because they are completely immature spiritually. So they have something that is momentous in front of them, and they don't see it. Well, if any group of people on this day, the first Sunday of the Coptic year, New Year, we are the people that can rejoice the most. We've got new digs. And we have two refrigerators in the hall. And we are going to have and share agape feasts forever. And we will not charge one penny. And there are all kinds of things about the culture of the small church which allows it to truly be a family instead of just being a gathering of people who are to some degree or less like-minded in their spirituality. You go to a big church, you don't have accountability. When I look around, as I said to you, in truth, everybody worked. Everybody. People that I never expected. There are people here today that came from other churches to help us as well. And I wish to acknowledge them, and I will at the altar. But many people came to help us. Many people supplied donations so that we could make this purchase. And it's going to be hard for us, because we're a small congregation. It's not going to be easy. We're going to have to remain resolute in making certain that this goes on, because we have lots and lots of financial obligations that are going to come. But these are going to be met with the same spirit that we took over this building and made it ours. And while it is not yet perfect, and while it is not yet completely orthodox, it's going to be by God's grace, and He has shown us His grace in everything. Let me tell you a small story. Now, there is one guy sitting over there that knew about this, but nobody else in the whole church knew this. We have been praying with the communion set that you see on the altar. We have no less than three other communion sets. I don't know who gave us the communion sets. I don't know how they got into the building. But we have three complete sets. These are not inexpensive. They're about $1,500 a piece. And they just appeared. And we have this baptistry, which is very expensive. And there's lots of things where, and by the way, I try to make it my business not to know who it ever is that donates one dime, so that I will not treat anybody differently. So you may be somebody that gives a lot, and maybe I'm rude to you. And you've got another person that is tighter with a penny than Ebenezer Scrooge, and I'm generous. Well, that was just your luck, bad or good. But I won't change my relationship to you based on the dollar. It will never happen, because I remain willfully ignorant. I have seen too many times in my priesthood that the rich were treated differently. Rich meaning big donors were treated differently than small people. And it was really disturbing. So this is how we're starting off our church. I hope all of you are happy with the beginning. I can tell you that this is just the beginning. It's going to be a book with many pages in it. We already have tasked one individual with chronicling everything like a documentary photographer, so that all the steps and all of the building are going to be accounted for in history, and that we are going to be able, when we look back, to feel really great. Now, I will tell you one more thing. This is not something that perhaps should be spoken of about now. There's a rundown house on a lot over here. We want to buy it. As a matter of fact, the owner of this house is the mayor of this city. So I'm going to take him out to lunch. I'm very overjoyed. You know, I've said this many, many times to people. The church is really inside you. This is a manifestation of what is inside you. To see the people and their work, it's a manifestation of what was existing already inside their own soul. You are not people that we pipe music to and you don't dance. You are not people that we mourn and you do not weep. When we mourn, you weep. When we rejoice, you are full of happiness. This is the exact way it is supposed to be. And you're supposed to participate in this thing fully. We had little kids going around doing stuff. Everybody, insofar as their talents, and I am the least talented, according to their talents, they were doing things. I thank God that it's cool in here. It's noisy, but it's cool air nonetheless. So for all of these blessings, we give thanks to God, and we will pray and continue as we have been, and we will be able, of all of the people in this diocese, to be able to join our voices with those who have felt the direct blessing of God. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.